Much appreciated. Okay. So tonight I want to talk a little bit about the history of tefillah. Starting from whether the obligation is the obligation or rabbinic obligation to daven in the first place, and going through a little bit as to where we get our tefillah from, the exact prayers that we have. Not all of the prayers, focusing on Shemona Esrei, who made them up, and what was going on when they had korbanos, didn't have korbanos. So I'd like to do a little bit of the history and the background of that this week. So we'll start with whether it is an obligation from the Torah or whether it's an obligation from the rabbis. So that is a disagreement amongst the Rambam and the Ramban. So we know the Rambam wrote a number of Sfarim. One of the books that he wrote was a list of the mitzvos. And the list of the mitzvos that he thought were the 613 mitzvos, and the Ramban, Nachmanides, so he wrote his critique on the Rambam's list. And he disagreed about a number of the mitzvos that the Rambam listed, and he felt that some of them that he listed were not from the Torah, and therefore at the end the Ramban added a few that he thought that the Rambam missed in order to get up to the 613 mitzvos. So one of those mitzvos that they had this disagreement about is the mitzvah to daven. The Rambam, in the fifth mitzvah, the Rambam splits it up in the mitzvahs asay, the positive commands, and the lo ta'aseh, the negative commands. So the fifth mitzvahs asay, the fifth positive command in his count of the mitzvahs, is to daven. That there's an obligation from the Torah to daven. He quotes a few psukim to prove this. One, which is a drasha from the Sifri, which is the Midrashim, so it says Ula Avdo. The Pasuk says Ula Avdo, and the Sifri says, what is La Avdo? Ezo hui Avoda Shebelev, that's referring to tefillah. When the Pasuk says La Avdo, that you should serve God, so that's referring to a service with your heart, which the Sifri, the Chazal tell us, means tefillah. So tefillah, the Rambam says, is an obligation from the Torah. And therefore, he says, obviously, it's counted as one of the 613 mitzvos. Now, the Rambam, in his Yad HaChazaka, which is his list of the halachos, the Rambam, which is most famous work, is the Yad HaChazaka, where he split up, basically went through all of Shas and listed all of the halachos of, he basically says, all you need is my sefer, and you'll know what to do. So in there, the Rambam, in Hilchos Tefillah, writes that the mitzvah is to daven. However, it doesn't. The Torah doesn't tell us what to daven, and it doesn't tell us how often to daven. All it tells us is that we need to daven. So the mitzvah mideoraisa, the Torah law, the Torah mitzvah, according to the Rambam, is to daven. How often and what? That's left up to interpretation, which we'll get to. But the Rambam says simply that there is an obligation to pray. He does explain a little bit in Halacha Beis, in the second halacha, in Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam does say that the mitzvah is, there's no nusach, there's no text, but he does say that a person should first give shevach to Hashem, he should first praise Hashem, then he should ask Hashem for his needs, and then finally you should also thank Hashem and praise Hashem some more. So he says, and that it would be tefillah. That would be according to the Torah. We would just say, praise Hashem a little bit. We would then ask Hashem for our needs, and then we would thank Hashem, which is basically how we patterned our Shemona Esrei after that. We have the first three brachos, which are the Shevach, the praising Hashem. We then have the middle group of brachos, which was 12, then turned into 13 brachos of asking Hashem for our requests. And then the last three brachos basically are referred to as the brachos of thanks, even though the only one that really is made up of thanks is modin, right? Ritzei and Sim Shalom isn't exactly thanks, but those are basically called the brachos of thanks. So our Shemona Esrei follows this structure of the Rambam, that tefillah means to thank Hashem, to praise Hashem, to ask Him for your needs, and to thank Him. And that would be enough, that would be tefillah. Now the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban, in his critique of the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban writes that it's not a Torah obligation to daven, it's something else. And when I say it's something else, because it's not exactly clear what the Ramban thinks it is. There are those who say that the Ramban thinks it is midrabbanan, means it's only rabbinic, The whole obligation to pray is only rabbinic in nature. From according to the Torah, we don't have to pray at all, and it's only rabbinic. Now, the problem with that approach is that we have stories in the Torah where we see people davening, right? The Avos daven, Avram Avinu daven, Yitzchak daven, Yaakov daven. Everybody daven, Moshe davens all the time. We have tefillos throughout the Tanakh. Throughout the Torah, we have davening.
Did the tefillos follow that same pattern? Like, wasn't it very, very different?
Yes, so right. So, yeah, we'll have to see how the Ramban deals with that.
Just because the people daven doesn't mean that you're obligated to daven. In other words, it may simply be that, you know, you're in a situation, in other words, where we see that, and therefore you ask Hashem and whatever else. It may be no obligation, maybe to your benefit, but why does that indicate any
right.
obligation?
So, true. It's true. You're right. It's possible that all of the stories in the Torah of prayer were just simply something that they did, but not because it was an obligation. You're right. And whether it exactly follows that, and whether it matters. Maybe it doesn't matter that the Avos davened, then it would have no ramifications on us. The reason why it would matter is because of the Gemara that I gave out to you, which we'll get to soon. Because the Gemara, one of the opinions in the Gemara is that the tefillos that we have correspond to the tefillos of the Avos, correspond to the prayers of the Avos. Of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which seems to imply, and we'll have to figure out what that Gemara means exactly, but it seems to imply that there is, our prayers are patterned after what they did. So we'll have to figure out what that exactly means. So the Ramban has three proofs to disprove the Rambam's approach. Again, the Rambam says it's a Torah law that you have to pray. It seems once a day you have to pray. The Ramban says, I have three Gemaras which seem to disprove this. And they are as follows. The first Gemara says that a Baal Keri, somebody who sees emissions, so he can read Kriya Shema, he can say Kriya Shema, umevarech al hamazon, and he can bench after eating bread. However, eino mispalo, but he does not daven. And the Gemara says the reason is because that Kriya Shema and Berkas hamazon, Shema and benching, when you're satisfied, are chiyuvim midaray. So they're obligations from the Torah. But davening is only midrabban. It's only rabbinic. It seems to be a clear proof against the Rambam. Again, the Rambam said that davening is midaraisa. And here the Gemara is telling you that it's only midrabban. And then he has another proof. The Gemara later in Bracho says that if you have a suffix, let's say you're not sure if you said Kriya Shema. So you're not sure you said Kriya Shema. The Gemara says you should say Kriya Shema again. But what if you're not sure if you said you daven, right? You're very tired one morning. You go through, you get home, and you take a nap. You wake up from your nap. You said, did I daven this morning? Or am I getting up from my night's sleep? And you're not sure if you davened or not. So the Gemara says, you don't have to daven again. Why not? What's the difference between Kriya Shema and davening? So the Gemara says, it's very simple. When you have a suffix on a mitzvah d'oraisa, when you have a suffix about Kriya Shema, which is an obligation from the Torah, so then you go l'chumra, which means we're stringent and therefore you should say it again. Let's be extra careful because it's a Torah law. But when it's only a rabbinic law, when it's only a mitzvah, which is midrabanan, so then we say if you have a suffix, so a suffix we can go l'kula, we can be lenient. And that's why if we have a suffix bracha, if a person's not sure if he made a bracha or not, so we say suffix brachos l'hakel. So the rule is that we're makel about brachos, we're lenient, you don't have to make the bracha. And the Gemara in a number of places says that we have rules. Suffik midaraisa l'chumra, when you have a suffik about a Torah law, we go l'chumra, we're stringent. And if we have a suffik about a rabbinic law, we are go l'kula, we're lenient. So the Gemara says the same is true about Kriya Shema and Tefillah. Kriya Shema is midaraisa, it's from the Torah, and therefore if you're not sure if you said it or not, be stringent, say it again. But Tefillah is only rabbinic, it's only midarabana, and therefore if you're not sure if you davened or not, you don't have to daven again. That's his second proof.
When you say Tefillah, that's Shemon Esrei.
Yeah. Yeah, Shemon Esrei. The third proof is from a Gemara in Sukkah. So the Gemara in Sukkah says, it's a Mishnah in Sukkah, if you're sitting at a meal on Sukkahs, and you're not sure, and you remember that you have not yet shaken the lulav, you remember that you haven't yet taken the lulav and Esrog on the first day of Sukkahs, so the Mishnah says you should stop your meal in the middle of the meal, and it's almost the end of the day, and you should stop your meal in the middle, and you should pick up your lulav and esrog, and you should shake it. And the Gemara says, what about tefillah? What if you're in the middle of your meal, and you realize that you didn't daven yet? Should you stop in the middle of your meal to daven? So the Gemara answers, you don't have to stop. You don't have to stop to daven. Ain mafsikin. You don't have to stop your meal to daven. The Gemara says, what's the difference that for lulav, you have to stop in the middle of your meal, stop what you're doing and shake the lulav, as opposed to tefillah, you don't have to stop in the middle of your meal. Again, assuming that you'll have time after your meal to daven. You don't have to stop in the middle of your meal, you can finish your meal and daven at the end. As opposed to lulav, we tell you, you have to stop in the middle of your meal and shake your lulav, and then go back to your meal. So the Gemara answers, the very simple chiluk, the very simple difference is that lulav and etzrog on the first day of Yom Tov is midaraisa, and tefillah is only midarabanan. So lulav is a Torah law, and therefore, when you're in the middle of the meal, you have to stop in order to fulfill the Torah mitzvah of lulav and etzrog. But when it comes to tefillah, it's only midarabanan, and therefore you can wait until the end of your meal, and then you can daven. So there's three very clear sources, very strong proofs against this, the opinion of the Rambam, who says that tefillah is midaraisa. The Ramban says, you see, these three Gemaras, all of them refer to tefillah as a mitzvah midrabanan, as a chiyuv midrabanan, as only simply a rabbinic obligation. And therefore, the Ramban says, it's not clear exactly what he says, he doesn't quite call it midrabanan, but he says it's not a mitzvah from the Torah. So that's the Ramban's, those are the Ramban's three questions. So before we get to exactly what it is according to the Ramban, and if it ever is midaraisa, there are just ways to get out of these proofs for the Rambam, right? Just that we shouldn't walk away thinking that the Rambam has no answer for these. So there are many who give answers, basically all the same type of answer, right? Basically all answering all three of these Gemaras in one idea. They're given by different people, but they're all basically the same answer. And the answer is as follows. As we mentioned earlier, according to the Rambam, there's no there's an obligation from the Torah to daven. How often do you have to daven according to the Torah?
Doesn't say.
So presumably?
Once a day.
Presumably once a day. Right? The Torah doesn't tell us daven three times a day. All the Torah says is ula avdo, that you should serve Him, which is the Gemara Darshans to explain. That means that you should serve Hashem through tefillah, and presumably that means once a day. So this answer is given by different rabbis to answer each one of these different proofs, but they basically all answer as follows. The requirement to daven three times a day is only midrabanan. Everybody agrees that that's a later addition from the rabbis, and we'll see where that came from, that you have to daven three times a day. But according to the Torah, there's no requirement, there's no need, there's no mitzvah to daven three times a day. The mitzvah, according to the Torah, is to daven once. So therefore, all of these cases, all three of these cases, can be explained that the question is, not that I daven at all today, but certainly I davened at least once today. The question is, did I daven all three tefillos? For example, the case of the Baal Keri. So let's say this guy, he davened Maariv, so now he wakes up in the morning and he wants to daven Shachris. So the Gemara says, you can't daven Shachris because you're a Baal Keri, because the requirement to daven a second time during today is only midrabanan. The second case, the case of whether he's not sure if he davened. So the case of Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo wrote a commentary on the Rambam, which is called the case of Mishnah. So in the case of Mishnah, Rav Yosef Karo, who also is the author of the Shulchan Aruch, he writes that the second case, where it's a suffix, right? We said if you're not sure if you said Kriyashma or not, so the Gemara says you should repeat Kriyashma. If you're not sure if you davened or not, you don't have to repeat davening. Why? Because the Gemara said davening is only midrabanan. So Rav Yosef Karo explains that's not talking about whether you're not sure if you davened at all today. You're not sure if you davened one of the three tefillos. Let's say it's mincha time. Or let's say even if it's shacharis time. You davened already Maariv. You davened Maariv already. The only question is, did you daven all three tefillos today? So you're not sure if you davened shacharis. You're not sure if you davened mincha, but you certainly davened at least once today. Then the subsequent tefillos are only rabbinic. But if the question was, did I daven at all today? Let's say a person wasn't feeling well, he goes to sleep early and misses Maariv. He wakes up in the morning and he's not sure if he davened Shacharis yet. So then certainly it's a suffix, according to the Rambam, a suffix midaraisa. It's now a suffix on Torah level, did I daven at all today? If it's a suffix, whether you davened at all today, the Kesef Mishnah says, the Rambam would then say, you should be machmir, we should be stringent and say, you should daven.
Well, why not skip it and just say, if you're not sure, daven mincha? Yeah.
Maybe he would say that.
And why wouldn't you say this? The original arguments came from Gemara Mishnah, like three different ones. Why wouldn't at least one of them have been more clear or specified?
Right. No, it's a good question. Those are all questions. That's why not everybody loves these answers. But the answers are still pretty similar. They all answer to get out of it. You're right. The burden of proof is on the Rambam, right? Because the Ramban, who says that it's only midrabanan, has three Gemaras that state that explicitly. So the burden of proof is on the Rambam, and these answers are just kind of trying to get out of the questions. We're not saying that these are great answers, and we're not saying, therefore, I can turn this around to turn into a proof for the Rambam. I just want to get out of the question. You know, don't tell me you have an attack on my opinion, on my position. I'll get out of it a little bit. How do you get out of it a little bit? By saying that each of these cases are referring to where I davened at least once already today, and the suffix is only an extra time. Now, Chaim, your question about let's say you have a suffix in the morning, whether you daven shacharis. You didn't daven ma'ariv, you're not sure if you daven shacharis, should you wait for mincha? So maybe. Maybe you would wait for mincha, but I would think more likely you would daven shacharis.
Because you have to put on tefillin. Was it even consideration back?
No, well, tefillin, right, it could be they wore tefillin all day long back then. And anyway, tefillin is really a separate obligation. Even if you're not going to daven, you put on tefillin. They're two separate obligations. We put them together because of the connection between tefillin and Kriya Shema, but really, tefillin and tefillah are two separate obligations. Mm-hmm. So we do them at the same time because of the connection between Kriya Shema and tefillin. But no, I would have said like this. In the morning, I'm not sure if I davened yet, which means, right now, it's a suffix whether I am obligated mida oraisa to daven or not. Right? Maybe I davened already, and therefore I don't have to daven again, but maybe I didn't. On the side that I didn't, so then I'm obligated mida oraisa. I'm obligated according to the Torah. So right now, I view this suffix as a suffix mida oraisa, a suffix about a Torah law, and the rule is when you have a suffix about a Torah law, you go l'chumrah. You're more stringent. I wouldn't wait for mincha, because mincha I want to daven anyway, because mida rabbanan, and I should daven mincha also.
But are you concerned then about a bracha levatala?
Are you concerned about Baruch Levatala?
Because if you do nothing, you have no problem. You, certainly with Mincha, you could accomplish.
Right.
Unless you say you've been out, mamish, out. You know what I'm saying? You didn't dive. You have, you know, you didn't dive Mincha. You didn't mamar. Now you're not sure. You know.
Right.
Then really you're.
You're saying if the suffix is about Mincha, then it's clear that you didn't daven. I mean, you didn't daven Ma'ariv, you didn't daven Shacharis, you're not sure about Mincha.
Then, okay, then
for
you,
sure.
Then you
right. I would think even if you're not sure about Shacharis, right now we view it as a Suffolk Daraisa, and we say Suffolk Daraisa, we go L'chumra, we're stringent, and therefore you could daven again. You're going to daven Mincha later? That's later. Later is later. Right now we're viewing this question, this, when I'm not sure whether I daven or not. So the question is, am I chayev on a Torah level or not? So we say, yeah, we'll treat it like a suffix daraisa, and we'll go l'chumra.
So that, in all due respect, I don't see it. I see a little, you know, when I look at it that way, the question is, the check, if you will, of whether you davened or not fulfilled the mitzvah,
mm-hmm.
when does that occur? Is it by, you know what I'm saying, are you starting? Do we say, again, you're starting the day, is it Maariv? Mincha, Maariv, Shacharis, Mincha. So we're saying Mincha is the last one, or we're saying it's Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv.
No,
Mincha
is the last one.
Okay, because that's the case, then really the Shacharis one doesn't mean anything for all intents and purposes. Because it's really when the Mincha one is done, the case is closed, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
on whether you fulfilled your obligation on doing your tefillah for the day.
Right.
So there really isn't I don't think it really brings in the issue of whether you're going to be over the mitzvah, you know, midyaraisa, because midyaraisa, because it's not done. It's like saying you have all day to shake your lulav. You there's the zman. The zman doesn't end with shacharis.
Right,
the
but nevertheless, ends
the end of the day.
Nevertheless,
you have the
Gemara
opportunity
says,
to do it, but it's not.
But nevertheless, the Gemara says you should stop your meal in the middle. Let's say the lulav example. You're in the middle of a meal. I could shake the lulav after the meal.
Right.
But right now, I didn't shake the lulav yet. So the Mishnah says, stop your meal in the middle and shake the lulav.
Now we're assuming this meal is what?
Breakfast.
Regardless of when the meal is, I assume I'll have time after the meal to do the mitzvah. How do I know I'll have time after the meal to do the mitzvah? Because the next case is the case of tefillah.
Right.
And it says you don't have to stop your meal in the middle of the meal to daven.
But you can always
and presumably that means because you'll daven afterwards. If I was going to run out of time afterwards, so I think we would say, yeah, you should stop your meal in the middle. Because if my only chance to do the mitzvah is right now, so even if it's only me derabanan, I should stop my meal. But if it's just out of the convenience of pushing off the later, so I'll have time later to daven. So it sounds like we'll view it right now in front of you. If I have the chance to do it, you should do it. Right? So when it comes to, I think, you might be right. I'm not sure about this case of where it's suffik if you daven shacharis or not. And I can for sure daven mincha later. So would the Rambam say you should daven shacharis? You might be right that maybe not, because you're going to be dotze midaraisa according to the Torah, you'll fulfill your requirement to daven later with mincha for sure. So why get yourself involved in a bracha levatala? Maybe a questionable bracha levatala.
It could be because you want to say you never know what's going to happen later. Something else right. Could happen later, then all of a sudden...
Right, that could be also.
You take care of it. Then.
What about the time element involved?
Yeah.
The time element. In other words, if you're not sure if you daven a certain tefillah,
yeah,
and the time has already passed, how can you go back? You can only daven chakras to a certain point.
Right, so then you would not be able to go back. This is... assuming that you're still before the time is up. Right? Let's say we assume you can daven shacharis until the fourth hour of the day. Right? The fourth hour of the day. So let's say it's 6 o'clock is sunrise, 6 o'clock is sunset. So the fourth hour of the day is 10 AM. So I can daven shacharis until 10 AM. So this is at 9:30 I say, did I daven shacharis this morning or not? If it's 12:30 already and it's time for mincha, so then you're right. I can't do anything about it. But if it's 9:30 and I could, it's still time to daven shacharis. I still have time. So the question is now: I'm not sure if I daven shacharis at the 7 o'clock minyan, or if I should daven now. So that's the case we're talking about. Once the time passes, yeah, you can't do anything about it. Yeah. So fine. So those.
Can you really compare though davening though to lul of an esrog, where it's not the mitzvah lul of an esrog is not a mitzvah that's done every day, you know, and it's something I know like. You also talk about like Zerizim Akdim on the Mitzvah that you want to do it as early as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it really comparable? Like, you know, if stopping your meal in the middle,
mm-hmm.
you know, to go ahead and shake lulav and esrog, you know, versus, you know,
davening.
Versus davening?
Right.
I mean, it's not really on the same level.
Right. Yeah. I think yes. I think even if it's something that happens less frequently, if it's a Torah obligation, so it's a Torah obligation. Meaning, halachically, we'll view everything on the same. There are two levels. There's a Torah law and there's the law of midrabanan. So, regardless of how often it happens or not, then you're right. We're more excited. We might be more excited about doing the lulav and esrog. So, since you mentioned that, I'll mention this medrash that I saw. Although I wasn't going to mention it because it didn't fit in. But I'll mention it anyway because you brought up being excited about it. It's a very interesting medrash that I saw. And it's definitely food for thought. The medrash tells a story about, I think, Antoninus, who was a general or some type of leader in one of the other nations. And he came to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And he said to him, let me ask you something. He said, what do you think about davening all day long? So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said, it's not a good idea. He said, why not? Sounds like a good idea to me. You're like daven all day long. You're connected with God all day long. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said, no, it's not a good idea because it will lead you to treat davening in a disrespectful way. It will lead you to act with kalus rosh, with a lightheadedness towards davening. And Antonio said, I don't buy it. I disagree. And he leaves. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wanted to teach him a lesson. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi goes into his office and he says, hello, my great, 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 great master who's the leader of the free world, or whatever he said to him. And he said, how are you? And they said, fine, good. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi walks out. He comes back an hour later to Antoninus and he says, hello, how are you, the great leader of the world? A little bit less praise. And he says, very well, thank you. Okay, goodbye. Then an hour later, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi comes back and says, hello, king, how are you? Antoninus turns to him and says, what? King? How could you refer to me just as the king? You were referring to me in such a nice way before. And now you have the chutzpah to turn to me and just say to me, king? He says, what's with you? You're treating me with kalus rosh. You're treating me with lightheadedness because you're so, because you're here so often. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said to him, exactly. Exactly. Listen. He said, listen to your own words. So you see from there that The whole idea as to why we don't daven all day long is because tefillah also is supposed to be something which is exciting, that we treat with that same level of intense concentration. And it shouldn't be something that we treat with a lightheadedness, with a light attitude. So yeah, you're right. Obviously, something that happens once a year for 7 days, as opposed to something that happens 3 times a day, obviously it's much more exciting for us to shake the lulav and esrog because it happens so less frequently. But it seems like the reason why we only daven 3 times a day, only daven 3 times a day, is because those 3 times are supposed to be exciting. And those 3 times are not supposed to lead us to becoming so comfortable with davening. They're supposed to lead us to exciting and meaningful encounters with Hashem throughout the day. It's an interesting...
I think there's in the times in the Mishnah before they would daven, they would psych themselves up, sort of, like 1 hour.
Right. The Gemara tells us that the Hasidim HaRishonim, the great first pious people, the early pious people, used to wait an hour before they would daven. They would come to shul and they would concentrate for an hour to get themselves ready before starting to daven.
You could only be at that level.
Yeah.
You wash your hands before you daven.
Yeah. Look, yeah.
Just be at the early
meeting. Look, yeah. I don't know. I always find myself running in. But yeah. Halavai, we should all aspire to be there an hour beforehand. Fine. So anyway, so those are the 3 proofs of the Ramban to prove why he believes that it's not a mitzvah min haTorah, and those are the answers. Now, the question is, according to the Ramban, what is it? Right? What is it? If it's not a Torah obligation, what is davening? What does it mean to daven? Where does it come from? And is it ever min haTorah? Is it ever a Torah obligation? So the Ramban himself writes that there is a time that dav, that prayer, is a Torah obligation. And he says that is be'es tsar. At a time of distress, a time of calamity, so then tefillah becomes an obligation from the Torah, and he quotes a pasuk to prove this, and that's when tefillah, our prayers, are an obligation min haTorah. But other times, the Ramban says, they're not min haTorah. So what are they at all those other times if they're not a mitzvah from the Torah? So there's a beautiful explanation given by the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, who we've quoted in the past, I'll tell you who he is anyway.
Does he give a source as to the Ramban, as to, or a basis for that?
Why? Yes, he does. The Ramban quotes a pasuk. If you want, I can find it, but otherwise I'll just show it to you afterwards. Here, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Behaloscha. The pasuk says, "Chisavo milchama ba'artzachem," when a war comes, "Al hatzar hatzorer eschem," when the people come to attack you, "V'harayosem b'chatzosros," that you should call out with the trumpet, "V'nizkartem lifnei Hashem lokechem," and you should niskartem, you should make yourselves remembered, which means basically you should daven. So the Ramban says there is a time when it is min haTorah, when it is a Torah obligation. That's when things are tough. That's when the enemy is attacking. But otherwise, the Ramban says it's not a mitzvah min haTorah. What is it? So the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein, who was born in 1829, and married the daughter of Rav Yaakov Berlin, who was the father of the Netziv, Rav Nathali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who was a well-known Rav in Volozhin. So his father, well, his sister married Michiel Michal Epstein. So Michiel Michal Epstein wrote on everything. He basically took the same setup as the Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote in a little bit more depth, with a little bit more background to all the halachas, and then he also wrote on things which will be Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, which means for the future, which deals with Karbanos, which deals with mitzvahs tulius ba'aretz, like Truma and Meiser and Shemitah and things like that, and he passed away in 1908. So he lived in the middle to late 19th century. So the Aruch HaShulchan gives the following beautiful explanation of the Ramban. He says, yes, the Ramban says it's not a mitzvah min haTorah. It's not a Torah obligation to daven. But he says it's not a rabbinic obligation either. But rather, he says that for sure, min haTorah, there is a concept of prayer. For sure, from the Torah. And he says, as we see in the Torah, there is a concept of prayer. But it's just that prayer can't be counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs. It's too important. It's too all-encompassing that you can't simply count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs. And he compares it to a spine. He says, just as a spine has, I think, 18 bones coming out of it, he says, but the spine is not one of the bones. The spine is the central piece of the body that everything is connected to. It's more than just simply one of the limbs. It's more than simply just one of the bones. Rather, it's the spine. It holds everything together. Everything is connected to it. He says, so too tefillah, so too prayer. It's not just a mitzvah, like one of the 613 mitzvahs. But rather, it's so connected and intertwined into our whole being, because it's an opportunity to speak to Hashem straight, directly from us to Hashem. He says it can't be counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs. It's much greater than that. It's much more all-encompassing and affecting more than just simply a mitzvah midaraisa. And therefore, certainly, it is some concept midaraisa. It's some concept. There's a concept of prayer from the Torah, but it's not a formal mitzvah. Now, what's even more fascinating about this is that the Gemara asks, why do we have 18 brachos in Shemoneh Esrei, right? We have 19 because of the later edition, which we'll get to another time. But why do we have 18 brachos? So the Gemara has a few different answers, because it says the name Hashem 18 times in Kapitel of Tehillim of Havul Hashem B'nei Elim, or because it says the Shem Hashem 18 times in Aseres HaDibros there are 18 psukim in Aseres HaDibros. One of the opinions are if you break up the psukim in some way. One of the opinions as to why we have 18 brachos in Shemoneh Esrei is because there are 18 bones, or 18 chulios, rungs, on the spine. Right, so there are 18 parts of the spine, therefore we have 18 brachos in Shemoneh Esrei. As the Aruch HaShulchan says, connecting that to what the Aruch HaShulchan said, that tefillah is not just a mitzvah, but rather it's like the spine of the entire Torah. It's more than just a mitzvah. A mitzvah is our opportunity to interact with Hashem. But tefillah is like the super interaction with Hashem. Tefillah is all-encompassing interaction with Hashem. Not just a mitzvah, but much greater than that. It's not a specific mitzvah, he says. It's an inyan klali. It's a more general mitzvah, like the spine and the body, so too tefillah in our lives. And therefore, he explains that the Ramban really agrees that it's in a concept from the Torah, but it's not a formal mitzvah. And when the Gemara says, but now you have to say, but the Gemara says that it's only midrabanan, right? We had all those Gemaras proving that it's only midrabanan, because the Gemara said, oh, the Rambam, it only says that it's midrabanan. Tefillah is midrabanan from the Gemara Brachos and the Gemara Sukkah. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains what that means is that we treat it as a mitzvah derabanan when we have a case of suffix. When it comes to the rules of how we deal with, if we're not sure about tefillah, we're not sure about davening, did we daven, did we not, so we treat it like a rabbinic law, and therefore we go lakula, we go in and we're lenient. But what is it? It's not just something that the rabbis came up with, according to the Ramban. It's certainly a concept in the Torah, which is found in the Torah by many of the Avos and Moshe Rabbeinu and others, but nevertheless, it's just simply not counted as a mitzvah midaraisa, as a Torah mitzvah. It's a concept from the Torah. It's an all-encompassing mitzvah, not a formal mitzvah of the 613, but it's almost like it's connected to all of the 613 mitzvahs. A similar idea, not exactly the same, but just a similar idea that you can have something which is from the Torah, but not counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs, is the idea of emuna and Hashem. There is a disagreement amongst those who count mitzvahs, again, whether believing in God is a mitzvah from the Torah or not. The Rambam, his first mitzvah, his first positive command in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the first one is that there's a mitzvah to believe in God. There's a mitzvah to believe in God. The Ramban agrees with the Rambam, but he quotes the Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, who also has a count of 613 mitzvahs, and he disagrees with the Rambam. He says, believing in God is not a mitzvah. How could you say that believing in God is not a mitzvah? Right? How could that be, that believing in God is not a mitzvah? So I don't know if the Bahag says this explicitly or if the Ramban explains what the Bahag means, that when he says that believing in God is not a mitzvah, what it means is that it's like a preface to all of the mitzvahs. You can't count believing in God as a mitzvah because it's an introduction to mitzvahs. Without the belief in God, so then what are mitzvahs? So you can't tell me that there's a mitzvah to believe in God, because without belief in God, you can't talk about mitzvahs. There's no such thing as mitzvahs if we're not believing in God. So the Bahag says that it's an introduction. Before you get to mitzvahs, you need to believe in God. It's almost similar to what we're saying about tefillah. It's much more all-encompassing than just being one of the 613 mitzvahs. It affects much more than just one of the 613 mitzvahs. And Emunah in Hashem is an introduction to believing in to doing the mitzvahs. So it can't be one of the 613. Similarly, not exactly the same, but similarly, the Aruch HaShulchan is explaining for the Ramban that davening, prayer, it's not just simply one of the 613 mitzvahs. It's much greater than that. It's an opportunity to really talk to Hashem, to really interact with God. It's much greater than just being one mitzvah. It's much more all-encompassing than just being one of the 613 mitzvahs. It affects us in all of these different ways and parts of our lives, instead of just being one of the 613. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan's explanation of the Ramban. I don't know if we're going to get to this Gemara tonight. I don't know. Sorry. Sorry, I handed it out.
But it's okay. Study is for next week.
No, I don't get homework. Ask my students. I don't get homework. Don't tell the school. Okay, so just one other opinion as to what is a Torah law, what is not a Torah law when it comes to prayer. So that is found in the Kuzari. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who wrote the Kuzari, so he thinks that that tefillah b'tzibur, tefillah hatzibur, when you have a group of people praying together, that is a Torah law, and that's a Torah obligation, or a Torah mitzvah. And when you have one person davening, that's only midrabban, that's only rabbinic. It's not so clear. He doesn't quote a proof for that. The sefer that I saw quoting this, the Siddur Avodas Halev, who we quoted from last week, so in there, he tries to find a proof for this approach, for this opinion, that tefillah b'tzibur would be a mitzvah midaraisa. And he quotes a Gemara about Metzia from a pasuk, that the pasuk starts referring to davening. It refers to the beginning of the pasuk, talks about davening as a tzibur, and then it changes to the lashon yachid, that you'll then be answered and rewarded. So he says, you see from there that only if you daven as a tzibur, the Torah, there's a source in the Torah for davening as a group, but there's no source in the Torah. This is talking about Shemona Esrei, specifically dealing with Shemona Esrei.
For any davening, then you can ask, you know, when Yaakov embraced Yosef, why did he, take the time to say Kriya Shema, if it wasn't a Tzibor type
right.
of thing.
So you're right. So besides that, you're right. You would still have the questions that we seem to pose on the Ramban. Now, some people didn't think there were such questions. But I also would have said, what do you mean? We find the Avos davened, and Avram davened, and Yitzchak davened, and there were no minyanim then, right? There were no tzibors. There weren't 10 Jews then. If there were any Jews then, I don't know, it's unclear if Avram is considered a Jew. It's unclear if Yitzchak's considered a Jew, what halachically their status was. But regardless of whether they were Jews or not, there certainly wasn't a minyan of Jews. So what were they doing? Something midrabbanim? They couldn't be doing something midrabbanan. They lived before the rabbis. So you could say, like everybody was saying to me before, that no, just because they were davening doesn't mean that there's a mitzvah to daven. It's just, it's a nice thing to do. But who says that it's a mitzvah to daven? So you're right. And that could be the answer here also.
But you're supposed to learn from their example.
We're supposed to learn from their example something. So we can still learn that it's a good idea to daven. It's a nice thing to daven. But that doesn't mean I'm obligated to daven.
Also, every time the Avos stopped, it was like a specific reason. Either they were thanking Hashem, or they stopped and they camp here. I guess thanking Hashem they're still alive, or they make them these payoff in this new place and name the city.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just like, and it was nighttime every day, so it says, Avram, Dom. It wasn't a regular schedule.
Right. Well, that's because we didn't get this Gemara.
Doesn't the Gemara say refer to tefillah as rachamim, and therefore everyone needs.
Yes, so the Gemara calls tefillah rachamim, yeah. The Gemara in discussing why are women obligated to pray or not, because maybe it's a mitzvah aseh shasman grama. Maybe tefillah is a positive time-bound command, which we know women are not obligated in. So the Gemara says no, women are also obligated to pray because it's racham, because it's mercy.
Right. So wouldn't Abram, wouldn't that be, would Abram and would
Yitzhak
and Yaakov were doing. In other words, they were asking for
mercy, right? But then maybe it's a mitzvah from the Torah. Anyway, yeah, you're right. It's not so clear exactly. The Kuzari, I only saw it quoted in one sefer. I didn't see all the other sefer quoted because it's not clear exactly where his source is to say this distinction between tefillah with a group of people as opposed to tefillah by yourself. But mainly, we do have these two opinions of the Rambam and the Ramban. So just to close, I'll share with you an idea from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik developed an idea that really, in essence, there's no disagreement between the Rambam and the Ramban. Right? I've been explaining that there is a machlokas, and I've been presenting to you what seems to be the simple explanation, that there is a machlokas. The Rambam says that there is a mitzvah from the Torah to daven all the time, right? At least once a day. And the Ramban says, no, there's only a mitzvah min haTorah. The only time there's a Torah obligation to daven is be'es tzara, when it's a time of distress. But when things are good, you don't need to daven from the Torah. You only have to daven midrabbanan. Right? And maybe what that means is not midrabbanan, but as Rosh HaShulchan said, that it's an all-encompassing mitzvah. It's more than just a simple mitzvah. But Pashup Shat, the simple explanation of the Ramban is that it's not a mitzvah midaraisa. There's no obligation from the Torah to daven. Rav Soloveitchik explained that maybe the Rambam really agrees with the Ramban that the only time there's a Torah obligation to pray, a Torah mitzvah to pray, is when there's an eis tzara, a situation of distress. The only distinction, the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban is what is considered a situation of distress. So everybody agrees with the Ramban that when there's an army attacking you, that's in a situation of distress, and then for sure it would be a mitzvah from the Torah to daven. What the Ramban, Rav Soloveitchik's explanation of the Ramban, the Rambam is that he thought that every single day we are in a situation of personal distress. And why? Because we know that our life depends on God. And we know that we're constantly living only because Hashem is willing us to live. And we know that we rely on Hashem to take every breath that we take. And we rely on God to have whatever we have. And therefore, every day when we think about it in that way, we realize that we're all in a situation of distress. There is a communal situation of danger, of distress, which is when an army is attacking. And that's what the Ramban is talking about. That the Rambam would agree to as well. But there's a situation of personal distress, of personal...
You need a miracle every day.
That you like need a miracle every day, like the Grateful Dead. I'll take your word for it. My brother would be proud of me, you know, quoting the Grateful Dead this year.
Well, I did it first.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good.
Yes. So, like the Grateful Dead, you need a miracle every day.
You can use it.
I can use it. Thank you. You need a miracle every day in order to stay alive, and therefore.
That's a different song.
Mixing and matching here. Now you confused me. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that the Rambam, when he said there's a mitzvah midaraisa, there's a mitzvah from the Torah to daven every day, it means because right now, every day, our tefillos are almost like a plea to God to let us live. It's a plea to God that we're saying, Hashem, I know I'm in a situation of distress, of personal distress, that I know that without you I can't live. And therefore, the Rambam agrees, be a sod, in the foundation, he agrees with the Ramban that the only time there's a mitzvah from the Torah to pray is when there's a situation of stress, of distress. Only when there's a danger. The question is, a communal danger, which is what the Ramban explains, or, as Rav Soloveitchik explains in the Rambam, even a personal danger, personal distress, which the Rambam, according to Rav Soloveitchik, believes that we are all in, psychologically, every day. That when we realize how dependent we are upon Hashem, so then it leads us to feel that need, to feel that situation of distress where we turn to Hashem with a broken heart, where we turn to Hashem and we cry out to Hashem, so then certainly that also would be an obligation min haTorah, from the Torah, to pray. And therefore, Soloveitchik explains, well, yes, there is a difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. Whether personally do we have an obligation to pray every single day, but in theory, they both agree, according to our Soloveitchik's approach in the Rambam, that it's only when there's a situation of distress is there then an obligation to pray. Whether communal distress, which everybody would agree to, or according to the Rambam, even a personal distress that we would all be in every day, according to our Soloveitchik, when we recognize how dependent we are upon Hashem to help us continue to live. So good. We'll stop here. Again, just to summarize what we said tonight, we learned this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban as to what is the obligation to pray. Whether there's an obligation from the Torah to pray, is there a mitzvah to pray or not? The Rambam says yes, the Ramban says there is not. And what exactly that means, according to the Ramban, that there's no mitzvah min haTorah to pray. And then this approach of Rav Soloveitchik to explain why the Rambam says that there's an obligation from the Torah to pray every day because of the personal distress that we're all in. So, Amir Tashem, next week we'll get to the Gemara. You don't have to hang on to them. You can put them here. I will bring them back next week. So, thank you again to the Chasers for hosting tonight's share.